Blog Talk Radio.
Cardiac. Got something new. Motivate. I'm so money. If you feeling good, it's all hood.
It's money.
That's how we do it. Free time style. Let's go.
Let's go. Homies and grandmas, I know your baby mamas. Bring the feet together, yeah, yeah, let's all do the shutter. Respect, joke, and lean back, boss, they can shake that. Three stripe and why it's all hurt to say crack. Hit the dance floor, we all got prize, we'll be claiming. One more brick in the brick, so we home black. Let's pop a bottle, get to rub and fit a climax. Now where my ladies at? Looking for my shorties with wings. Yeah, they fly. They fly. Yeah, yeah, they fly.
Well, hello, hello, hello. We are back. We are live. It is exciting to have all of you here with me today. This is the new rebranding of our show. We've been off the air for a while, but I can see by the numbers that you guys have been kind enough to continue to log into our old episodes. I know that Shelly Numchucks was holding the helm for a while with her Ninja Sundays and Ninja Wednesdays, which was a really fun, fun thing to do. But now we are back. We are excited. We are here. And we just continue to grow. So today I just wanted to kind of join you guys and let you know what we're going to be up to in 2020. Can you believe that? I have to tell you something, though. I'm very upset because I was told that by 2020 we were going to have flying cars. I don't see any flying cars. I'm still driving. I'm still stuck in traffic. So I just want to know what happened with that. I feel like I got ripped off. So if any of you feel that way, again, just remember that we are still stuck in traffic. Like, that is just crazy to me. Where's my flying car? Where is my... I'm just very disappointed right now that I did not get my flying car. So with that being said... Today we are going to answer a bunch of emails that we have had just coming in. People just interested in what we were up to, what we were doing. And just to let you guys know, we do have the guest call-in number. Give me 1 second. I am a one-woman show today because this is more of a test. We're going to be having regular hours pretty soon. And we're going to go back to our format. So kind of trying to helm this here and pull up a few of the emails that we've gotten to make sure that I can answer some of them. I know a lot of you had wanted information on my book that's coming out and wanted to know what the deal was with everything that we've been up to. And just to let you know, we do have a call-in number. So if you're interested in calling in, getting on the air, and just asking any questions or any comments that you want to have, the number is 516-418-5868. Again, 516-418-5868. So I'm going to get the numbers together here with the emails and all the stuff that we have coming. In the meantime, just going to play this song for you real quick. It's called Runaway with Cardiac featuring Laura Lee. Enjoy.
Runaway.
Kristen on the track.
Look at my life, though, I've been around. All the talking and the saying that we hellbound. All I'm saying, that's a force, that's hell now. One struggle, one life, got it all now. Gotta fight, gotta push, make it stand now. Just make the best of it, what they say now. Simpletons in the bubble at the playground. Most lost, some found, what we doing now. Hardest not seeking truth, but we lay around. So lazy, this needs to turn around. Until then, hit the clouds streaming. Hover where with no innocence screaming. All happy, all fit for no reason. Cause we humans, the reason is breathing. I got a heart, real talk, we all should. Since when did we know we lose our childhood?
If I could fly away.
And I breathe, I'm trying to get low. I'm trying to stay high, trying on my damnedest to fly. The ground is too cold, the sun is so bright. I just want beautiful flight. Look down on the world, see it go by. Play with the melody right. Beautiful sounds, the memory gifts. I don't wanna forget none of this. I live in the moment, I live in the now. Trying to stay positive, you know my style. Stress for the birds, this is the plan. Holding my 2-year-old's hand. Here's my life, here's my God. I don't need nothing but fam. Trying to live right, be a good dad. Promises I never had.
If I could fly away.
And that's a lie, you know, that's a truth talker. We all learn from our faults or pretend to. We all fall or stumble, but we hear you. One sound, one youth, are we there too? Everybody's scared of getting older. Wanna be remembered in this lifetime. It's a shame some go, never got time. It's a shame so bright, never got shine. I see the stars in the sky, but I'm not crying. They in a better place, grandma, Miriam, Wayne, Sarah, up in there, hear me sing. Keep on living, keep doing my thing. For everyone that we missed, there's a whole reason. I got a light in my heart and I keep on feeling.
If I could fly away.
Hello, we are back. That was Runaway by Cardiac with guest vocalist Laura Lee. I hope you enjoyed that. Also, just to let everybody know, we are always on the lookout for indie musicians and singers and songwriters. And if you'd like to share your music with us, we would love to be able to feature it on our show. If you are interested in sending your EPK, or if you are interested in submitting to see if we can play your music. Two simple rules. It has to be family-friendly. No swearing, please. As we are a family-friendly show. And you have to own the beat outright. So make sure that it's original music and not covers that we can freely play on the radio and you would like to add it to the rotation. If you're interested in doing that, just send me an email at ordinarywoman, and that is spelled ordinarywmn@gmail.com. Again, ordinarywmn@gmail.com. And make sure you send me links to your music as long, as I said, free and clear. Has to be your music, can't belong to anybody else because we don't want to get in trouble. Also, send us a photograph of the group or yourself if it's just you, along with your website and any other pertinent links that you might have so that we can make a decision if we want to play your music, and we'd love to. Also, I'm always looking for guests, so if you have an incredible story to share, please feel free to use that same email, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com, and send us your story, and we would love to have you on the show. As I always start my shows at the beginning of the year, I like to talk about this phenomenon that we have of basically having resolutions. And I talked a little bit about this the other day on one of my videos. And one of the things that really strikes me is how every year everybody makes, mostly everybody, will make resolutions. These resolutions to save more money, get more sleep, lose weight, be a better person, be more in touch with our family. Just endless amount of resolutions that we make. And then sadly, a lot of times I notice that by the time February comes or March comes, resolutions kind of go by the wayside. Meaning that we kind of try, we do it good for a little while, and then it's just like, ah, you know what, and I wasn't able to make it work, so I'll start next year. And one of the things that I actually wrote about this in my blog, and I've talked about it repeatedly, is we need to get out of that mindset that unless we do it perfectly from the beginning, then the year is shot to hell. I'll be honest, 2020 has kind of started on a rough ride with me because unfortunately we had two deaths in the family of people that were very close to us, very loved, very, very part of our fiber. And it was really tough for us to deal with that. And it was even more tough, I guess, because, yeah, we all have relatives that we love and we care about. But these two relatives were really an integral part of our being as far as how involved they were with our lives, how much they've influenced loved ones, and the longevity of how long they've been there. So for me personally, it was really rough to go through this ordeal, see my family suffering at the loss of the loved one, because these loved ones were close to me, but not as close as they were to other relatives. So for me to feel the loss, but also see the incredible pain that my loved ones were going through, it's tough because me being me, I just wish I could touch them and it could be gone and they could still remember the loved one, but not have to deal with the pain. And unfortunately, I can't do that. So it's very hard to stay optimistic when you're starting out a new year on those circumstances. So one of the things that I had to sit back and reflect is, what was I going to focus on? Was I going to focus on the loss that this loved one is no longer with us? Or do I want to flip it and sit back and realize all the incredible memories that we were able to share with them? And it's funny because sometimes we don't realize how much that person has been in our life or how many memories we have with them until we start reflecting on them. And if all we do is focus on the pain, it kind of blocks out all the good stuff because sometimes we decide we don't want to talk about it or it's too painful or maybe we feel like we're walking on eggshells when we talk about the loved one to other people that love them. So they kind of get put on a shelf. And then we wind up kind of closing ourselves off, not talking about them. And I think that would be a disservice to everything that loved one meant for us. And it's also a disservice to us. Because if we really love them that much and we really miss them that much, then why not enjoy their memories? Why not glorify the life they led and how much they influenced us? So I'll give you an example. As most of you know, my daughter-in-law passed away. Lord, it's going to be 8 years already, and it's just mind-boggling to me that it's been 8 years since Sarah passed away. And I realized that when she passed away, because I kind of stepped up to help my son at the time with his two little ones, because, you know, she passed when she had two small children, and it was such a quick turnaround from me moving from my home in one state to go to another state to help my son with his kids. And it was that gerbil wheel of life where, you know, you kids need to be fed, they need to eat, they need to sleep, they need to be loved and taken care of, and kind of taking a little bit of that load off my son so he could continue to work while he was grieving in his own way. Well, it really dawned on me the other day that after 8 years, I really had never taken the time to step back and really deal with the grief. And it dawned on me more so because I was talking to someone and they're like, wow, you've mentioned Sarah 4 times in like 20 minutes. And to me, I didn't understand why they saw that as a bad thing. Why would me talking about her be a bad thing? To them, it was like, oh, well, you haven't gotten over it. So I didn't say what I wanted to say, which was something very rude and very not inspiring. But I did say, why would I not talk about her? That doesn't make any sense to me. If I love her and I still love her, it's not past tense. I didn't love her in the past. I still love her now and will always love her. Why would I not talk about her? It's almost like just because someone died and because she died in her youth from cancer, not because she died, you know, when she was 100 and an old lady sitting on the porch with her great grandkids. I don't understand where that mindset comes of if you talk about someone, you haven't gotten over it yet. The reality is, and this is something that is going to be a foundation for you guys to deal with other issues besides the death of a loved one, is that you never get over it. You don't. You become stronger. You understand where the pain is coming from. And I read a book once that was called, or I don't know if that was the title or if it was actually in the book. It's called Stronger at the Broken Places. And it always struck me because I know that when people fix expensive china, that they use this method that seals the cracks together and ironically makes the broken parts stronger than the original parts, the parts that aren't broken. So I've always used that as a metaphor for me, that I have become stronger in the broken parts. So that is not a bad thing, that is actually a good thing, because I've been able to take an experience that life gave me and have been able to use it to make myself stronger. So for those of you that are mourning the loss of a loved one, don't ever feel that you need to get over it, because we don't get over it. We just learn to live with it, because that loved one will always be missed, will always be talked about. It's no different from me, and I know people might think this is weird. I'll give you an example. If my husband traveled to Paris, let's say, one, I would kill him if he went by himself. It didn't take me, but all kidding aside, if my husband went to Paris, and let's say he's going to be in Paris for a year, am I supposed to just forget about him, like not talk about him, not talk to him, not verbalize his name, not reminisce about when we were together? Of course not. That's silly, because we know people have dealt with that when their loved ones need to leave because they got deployed or they have a job somewhere else and they're separated for a while. It might not be for a year. It might be for just a few days or a week or a month, but we still talk about them. We still miss them and we still acknowledge their existence. Well, to me, death is no different. Just because someone has moved on, has passed on, doesn't mean they're no longer there. Doesn't mean they no longer exist. And doesn't mean I need to get over it. Because if my husband were in the military and he got deployed, no one would say to me, well, get over it, deal with it. No, I would have support, my friends, my family. They would see, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Can I help you with the kids? Can I help you clean your house? Do some grocery shopping. And that doesn't stop, because I've seen how military families are. They're there for each other. So whether this person is deployed for 90 days or a year or two, the support is there. But what I've noticed is that when someone passes away, the support is there at the beginning, and then for some reason, it just goes away. And that's when you start getting the, oh, you know, you should move on. You should get over it. You know, you should deal with it. But I am dealing with it. I'm dealing with it by being a stronger person and by honoring the memory of that loved one. Now, the reason I bring this up is, one, I know there's a lot of us that are dealing with loss, but also that any trauma or any bad experience that we've had, it's the exact same thing. We don't get over it. We don't deal with it. We don't suck it up. Those are all negative terms that are put to, okay, so something bad happened. Well, you know, it was then. Get over it. We don't get over it. We become stronger in those broken pieces if we choose to heal. So we have two options. The first option is, I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to dull in the pain with drugs, with alcohol, with being promiscuous, with doing stupid things like stealing, or even worse, overeating and being unhealthy and maybe smoking too much, or just a lot of negative things that are just going to compound the problem. Or I can deal with it, realize, where is this pain coming from? Where is this trauma coming from? And trauma, you have to understand, it's different for different people. So we can't judge a person's journey because their road is different from us. We can't. Because you might see someone that lived a horrific childhood where they were physically abused and maybe raped and sexually assaulted, and they came out of that so much more stronger that they have gone on to mentor other victims, to make them survivors, to make them stronger, and to be a light in that darkness. Then on the flip side of it, you might have someone that their parents didn't show up for their recital, and 30 years later, they're still fuming about the fact that their parents didn't hear their solo, and it has destroyed their life. Again, that might be more painful for them than what this other person went through. But for me personally, I feel that it's not what happens to you, but how you respond to it, how you deal with it. So that's what you need to ask yourself. If you are the kind of person that you do want to make change and you're talking about New Year's resolutions, number one, throw that whole New Year resolution out. It should be a new day resolution, a new minute resolution, a new second resolution. Because guess what? If I decided that I'm going to not eat as much sugar on January 1st, and an hour later I destroy a chocolate bar that's a pound in weight, guess what? I don't have to give up because I screwed up 2 hours into the new year. Because that means what? The other 364 or 65 days, if it's a leap year, don't count. I can remake that resolution in the moment and say, you know what? Just ate a whole pound of chocolate. I'm going to resolve not to eat another pound of chocolate today. And maybe tomorrow I'll only eat half a pound, and so on and so forth. So we as humans, as long as we are breathing and as long as our eyes open whenever we wake up, we have the opportunity to restart, to redo our resolution. So you can't be so hard on yourself or so focused in such a minute way that unless it's perfect from day one, that's it. I'm done throwing in my hat. Because if you do that, then your resolution is not coming from a place of healing. It's coming from a place of avoidance. And what I mean by that is that if you're saying you are not going to eat chocolate, or you're not going to eat sugar, you need to ask yourself the question, is it because I genuinely want to be healthier and I genuinely understand that maybe there's a history of diabetes in our family, or maybe it doesn't make me feel well when I eat it? Or am I substituting that restriction for another underlying issue that I have, and I am lying to myself? And I use the word lying because that's exactly what we're doing. We are lying to ourselves if we think that doing this thing over here, aka cutting out sugar, not eating chocolate, for the fact that you spend too much money, or the fact that maybe you don't get along with your husband, or you don't get along with your relatives, or you're frustrated with your children's behavior, or you hate your boss, you hate your job, whatever the case may be. We as humans have the tendency to micromanage the minute so we don't have to deal with the real issue. So we'd rather deal with the flea that's buried in the elephant than the actual elephant that's sitting in our living room. Because we feel, you know what? I dealt with the flea. We're all good. Flea's dead. Gone. All right. I'm a superstar. But you still have this massive elephant sitting in your living room, and you think that by putting a cute little throw pillow on it and a couple of blankets, it's all good. It's not. It's still a giant elephant in your living room with funky pillows and a blanket. Still there, still taking up space, still in the back of your mind constantly because you can't get away from it. So you need to figure out what is that minute that you are pretending to deal with, and what is the big issue that you're not dealing with. So I'm going to leave you that real quick. So we're going to go for another song break. I have this really cool song that I love. It's very motivational. I kind of feel that it's where we're going at. So I'm going to play this for you. It's called Threading Water by Cardiac, obviously, one of my favorite actresses. He's featuring Rochelle in this one. So listen carefully to the words in this song. Very inspirational. And by the way, I had some lady in a focus group said, that is a great song except for the swear. There's no swear in it. The lady was listening wrong. So listen to the song. I hope it uplifts you, and I will be back in a few minutes.
They always ask me how bad do you want it. Man, I've been through the worst. It's like the sickness is on it. Pestilent with the rhymes. It's like the man's out of diamonds. I always told you I do it like a psychic or prophet. But the road gets slick when you writing for profit. Would you draw a line when you write a line? How do I know those angry words won't spark a young mind? Turn a lost soul into the next Columbine. We all misfits. We all lost kids. Prodigal sons trying to see what God fits. A puzzle of imperfection, a product of insurrection, a wolf for the sheep's protection. Anomaly of holy lessons, cause sinners receive their blessings. I'm sinking the holy testings, armors the holy blessings. Finally see the vision, the spirit is on a mission. No borders and no divisions, no rulers, no politicians. No hatred, let's love our brethren, let's go swimming. Like I'm out of orbit. My thoughts were fogged up in morbid, but I always continue moving. My mind's bruised when the feeling's soothing. Living in the darkness and pain, temptations of Lucifer on the brain, making me wanna go insane. Still never felt the same, but I'm the only one to blame. After my life was a disaster, from the monks to the pastors, we all looking for the next chapter. In a universe filled with plasma, listening to the echoes, fill voices through the threshold, from holy churches to Buddhist temples. In the end, we all just wanna let go. But who we let know when we find out who we love most? So I raise up a toast for the loved ones that gone ghost. I'm trying to fill you with hope when the road's dark and the end's close. I'm out.
Yep, it's that time of year again, Bob.
Are we gonna have to sit through one of those dated corporate videos again? I swear, the last one was rolled out in my old AV club equipment.
There has to be a better way.
There is!
Looking to freshen up your dated HR or corporate training videos? Or maybe just create a new one? B-Town Sadie Productions.
Say what?
Right off 495 exit 3855 Phoenix Ave, Lowell, Mass.
VO and ADR starting at 30 an hour.
2,000 square foot soundstage. 60 an hour or $400 for the day.
Uh-huh.
Video production packages starting at 700.
You're right.
So kiss those boring videos goodbye. Sayonara, baby.
Beantown, Sadie Productions.
Beantown, Sadie.com.
And hello, we are back. That was a commercial for Beantown Stady Production Company, www.beantownstady.com. So go check that out. If you have a video, a commercial, voiceover, movie project that you would like to be filming in the New England area, you know where to go, Beantown Stady Production. Also, that was Treading Water with Cardiac featuring Rochelle, one of my favorites. So going back to what I was saying, it's the fact that we need to learn that all of us are broken. Every single one of us. There's this misconception that people say, oh, I just wish I came from a normal family. My family is dysfunctional. Well, psychologically, it's been proven that less than 15% of the families are quote unquote normal. The rest of us all have some form of shenanigans going on in our family tree, and we just need to learn to deal with it. That's all. So let me real quick tell you the call-in number. Guest call-in number, 516-418-5868. If you have a comment, a question, commentary, call in. Love to hear you guys what you got to say. Right now I'm going to go to a question that was emailed to me, and here we go. Hey, ordinary woman, love the show. Looking forward to the new season. I have a question. Do you know what the best way is to deal with the desire to choke my boss out? Just kidding. How to deal with difficult people. Looking forward to your answer and looking forward to listening to more of your advice in the future. Love, Katie. Well, thank you, Katie. I'm glad you're not going to shoot your boss or kill your boss. That's not the kind of climate that we're in right now, because unfortunately it's a sad world that that happens a lot. The best advice I can give you is because I have been lucky. I'm not going to lie. I have been lucky. I'd say about 90% of my bosses were badass. I mean, like, really great bosses. They weren't pushovers. They were straight shooters, but they were the type that if I needed something, I knew I could get it from them. But they also had a certain standard that they held themselves to, and by doing that, held the rest of us to that standard. So one of the things that you'll need to ask yourself, and again, I hate to say this, but not really, sorry, not sorry, is the fact that you need to figure out why you're having problems with this person. And I hate to say it, because in the past, there's been a couple of people that I flat out said, oh my Lord, this person is just driving me crazy. It's them. It's always them. And you have to know this. It goes back to the elephant in the room. It is so much easier for us to sit there and just blame everybody else for our problems, because then that way we don't have to deal with us. It is so easy to say, my boyfriend is the problem, my husband is the problem, my mother, my father, my cousin, the dog, the cat, the neighbor, the freaking mailman. Because as long as we keep doing that, then we don't have to deal with the fact that there's a pattern here. If you're the one that's unhappy and you're the one that constantly seems to wind up in a situation where relationships don't work out and jobs don't work out and bosses don't work out and connections that you make don't work out, you need to ask yourself one of two questions. One, why am I always attracting these kind of people? Or two, birds of a feather flock together. Am I the ringleader of this group because I'm that way? It's a reality of life that we attract the same kind of people to us that we are. So if you are always winding up with people around you that are dramatic and a problem, and you feel are underachievers, or they're constantly not living up to like your expectations, you need to figure out what your problem is. Because what you're doing is you're focusing way too much on everybody else's problems, and you're trying to figure out how to fix them. And by doing that, that means you don't have to fix you. Because as long as, hey, if I fix Joe Blow in the corner, then I have that a boy. I'll pat myself on the back. I did my good thing. I'll go on my merry way. Yet you're still a hot mess because you haven't dealt with you. And I know that because I, for years, was constantly trying to fix people. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to make you into this wonderful person. I'm going to solve your problems and everything will be great. But guess what? You can't fix anybody unless they want to be fixed. And in order for them to want to be fixed, they need to want to do it themselves. I can't take a grown person, a grown man, or a grown woman and magically fix them. We can barely fix a child. The only thing you can do with a child is if they're crying, you feed them, you change their diaper, you make sure they take a nap so they're not tired, and it alleviates the need. But internally, if there's something going on with that child, the child needs to deal with it. And unfortunately, in our day and age, parents love to pass the buck. If your child is having problems, oh, it's because it's the teacher or it's the other kids or it's because they have a learning disability or they think differently or they learn differently. Look, I'll be the first one to admit there are kids that do have some serious learning disabilities, some serious challenges. And you know what? A lot of those kids are the ones that really go to work hard. They really want to quote unquote fit in. But then you have the kids that, oh, if I just pretend that, oh, I have ADD, so let me just, you know, bank on that. Every time something happens, well, it's not my fault. It's because, you know, I have ADD. And I can use that term freely because my whole life I had to deal with that where my mind was going in a million different directions and no one understood why, including me. I didn't understand why I couldn't sit still. Why is it that someone can sit there for 2 hours and not move and I feel like there's an army of ants ready to take over the world climbing up my leg? And it was something that my mother couldn't understand. So it created this very hostile environment of me constantly being in trouble at school, even though I was a good student, which was a very oxymoronic thing because I always got great grades. I always had good grades. But I was always that person that couldn't sit still, or I was the person that wanted to pretend to be Ringo playing the drums and making noise in class. And I wasn't doing it on purpose. It was more of in my brain, there was an adventure going on, and I didn't realize that that adventure was spilling out into the classroom. So as a result of that, my mother just couldn't understand, what is your problem? Why can't you just sit still? Why can't you just, you know, suck it up and be a good person? I wasn't trying to be a bad person, and I sure as heck wasn't trying to, like, hurt her or make her ill because of my behavior. It was something that I just didn't even understand that was going on. Obviously, as I got older, I learned coping mechanisms to be able to overcome them and to be able to still function. Unfortunately, nowadays, I just see a trend where the parents just want to blame everything on everybody else, or we as adults just want to blame everything on everyone else. The first question you should ask yourself whenever there's a problem, you need to ask yourself, what did I do? What did I do? Now, please understand this. I am not talking about people that are in abusive relationships. I'm not talking about kids that are abused or neglected. I'm talking about everyday occurrences. So if every job you've ever had, you wind up with a boss that you feel that doesn't appreciate you, that's nitpicking you, that's constantly on your case, you need to ask yourself, is it the kind of jobs that I'm gravitating to, or is there something that I am doing that is creating the perception of this, or is it something that I'm doing that is clearly affecting my job performance, which is why my boss is on my butt all the time? That's a hard question to ask. So, Katie, what I need to tell you is not saying it's your fault, but what is going on exactly? And you didn't mention if this is a pattern. I'm assuming it's not. It's just this particular person. So this person might just be a jerk or might just be power hungry or might be that you're such an incredible worker that they feel threatened by you. But you need to be able to take inventory to solve the problem. And there's two ways to do that. You have to be brutally honest with yourself, which means you need to sit there and you need to make a list. Am I late for work all the time? If the answer is no, okay. Do I take too much time off of work? If the answer is no, okay. Do I get my assignments done on a deadline or early? Again, what's the answer to that? Do I do all the jobs that are assigned to me? Do I understand what my job duties are? Do I understand everything that's expected of me? Do I contribute to any team projects? Those are all important questions that you need to ask yourself. And if the answer is that you always do what you're supposed to do, then we know there's a problem with your boss. But if you are honest and you say, well, you know, yeah, I am late, but it's only like a minute or two. And yeah, I do take time off, but I have to because my kid was sick, da-da-da-da. I get it. Trust me. My husband and I raised 9 kids together. It's a pain to deal with sick kids and not having daycare. And I understand all of that. But you also have to understand that there's a difference between your kid being sick or you feeling that I'm not going to work today. And it's okay. The thing is that a lot of jobs, if you're out, that means someone else has to pick up the burden of what you're doing. And after a while, people notice. And if you're not on flex time and you don't have a job where you can create your schedule, it's very challenging for you not to be put in that situation. If you have a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday and you're expected to be there, like the saying says, 9-to-5, it's not 9:05, 9:10, 9:15. It's not leaving at 3 or 3:30. It's not spending hours on Facebook or, you know, checking personal emails. Those are things that you need to ask yourself. And yes, there are bosses that no matter what an incredible worker you might be, are just going to be jerks because they're the ones with the problem. But you need to ask yourself that if after you've asked all of this, can you have an honest conversation with your boss and say, I'd like to know what I can do to improve my job performance. I'd like to know where you feel that I have deficits that I can work on. So that's a beginning point for you. Or guess what? Maybe the reality is you're in the wrong job, like flat out the wrong job. I'll tell you, I worked customer service for 3 years, and I won't mention the company, as much as I loved the company, do not get me wrong, I loved this company. The company was great. They had great benefits. They took care of their employees. They always appreciated us. And I had great coworkers. My bosses were awesome. The only thing I hated, and I'm going to date myself because this is when I was younger, and people were still allowed to smoke in the workplace, and it was instant migraines every other day because of the smoke in the place, because a lot of people smoked, which was the only downside of it. But I did love this company. I love the people I work with. Did I love my job? Hell no. No, I hated it. I hated my job because constantly being on the phone with someone I didn't know, dealing with their issues, and 90% of the calls weren't problems. They were just people wanting their stuff picked up or dropped off or having a question. Yeah, once in a while you get the person yelling at you for no reason, didn't even give you a chance to help them. But it wasn't what I wanted to do. It isn't that I didn't want to talk to people. It's just that I hated being on the phone. To this day, my kids will tell you, if you're going to die and you need to make one last phone call to get your butt saved, please, for the love that all that is holy, do not call me because I will not pick up the phone. You can text me. You can email me. But if you call me and your life depends on me picking up that phone, you're going to die because I'm not picking up that phone. That's just a horrible habit that I have. And for the job that I have now, one of the jobs I have to constantly pick up the phone. The advantage is that I have a work phone, so I know, okay, it's work, it's work, it's work. And unfortunately, I still have that bad habit with my personal phone where I have been constantly teased by my kids saying, you know what, I know you're looking at that phone and you know it's me and you're not picking up. I'm not going to lie. There are times that I have done that and they know that. So to me, it wasn't that I was in the wrong company or that my bosses stunk or my coworkers didn't like me, because they did. I just wasn't passionate about what I was doing. And it wasn't that I didn't like customer service, because the flip side of that was when I wind up working at a department store for a little bit as a part-time job. I loved it. I loved interacting with people. I loved helping people find what they wanted. I loved being on the register, which was totally strange for me, because growing up, I was painfully shy. Like, the thought of me having to talk to someone was painful. Like, it literally made my stomach hurt. But for some reason, when I was in that setting where I was helping someone and they really wanted to help, they wanted me to help them find a shirt or some pants or whatever. I don't know. There was just something strange about it, and I loved it. So I realized that it wasn't customer service. It's the fact that I didn't like being on the phone. There was just something awkward about it to me, because I didn't get to see the customer or the person face to face. So you need to ask yourself, are you in the right industry? Because there's a lot of people, and unfortunately, 95% of the people go to a job they really don't like. They like the paycheck. They like maybe some of the people they work with. Maybe their bosses are okay. Maybe the company's good. Maybe it's not. But that's not what they're passionate about. I can honestly say to you, there's a lot of jobs that if I had to wake up in the morning and be like, yay, today I get to go crunch numbers, woohoo! No. Don't get me wrong. I know a couple of my relatives that are accountants, and they love it. I love math. I love the mystery of it. To me, it's like another language. Do I want to sit there and do figures all day? No. No, thank you. I would rather write. I would rather create film. I would rather talk to people, motivate them, inspire them. And in my prior life, when I was in law enforcement, that's what I loved about it, was the interaction with the public, the interaction with people, the interaction with kids. There was just something magical about it. And the flip side of it was when I have to deal with the not so magical part of it, you know, the accidents, God forbid, when someone died and you had to notify their relatives. While it was heartbreaking and challenging, there was a peacefulness that came to me, knowing that I tried to be as compassionate as I could to that person. I tried to give the bad news as kindly and as loving as I could, because I felt how horrible getting those news were. So to me, that's what made the job balanced because of that. Not going to lie, there's still some cases that haunt me. I had to deal with some deaths in the line of duty on the job, where the victims, they still haunt me. 30 years later, I still see their faces. I still remember their circumstances. But I also don't feel any regret, because I showed the company, the family compassion. And sadly, some of those family members didn't really deserve compassion, because they weren't about the victims. They were about themselves and doing things that weren't right. But that wasn't my place to judge. I still treated them with respect and compassion and love to the best of my abilities. So what you need to ask yourself, and that goes for everybody, not just you, Katie, that goes for everybody, to the fact that if you're not happy at your job, you need to ask yourself why. This is another topic that I covered in one of my videos. If you go to the 411 YouTube channel, it's on there. I really brought out the fact that you need to find out what your why is. And if you're not happy in the job that you're doing, maybe you're in the wrong career, or maybe you've been at it too long and you've lost the passion and you're burnt out and you just maybe need to tweak. So those are the things that I can leave you with, Katie, about the fact that you need to ask yourself, what is going on here? And it might be that there's some things that you need to work with on yourself. The best saying I ever heard, that the more I change, the more the people around me change for the better. And I've noticed that with myself. I was going to say maybe good 25, 30 years ago, I was miserable. Like, I hated people. I hated life. Everything sucked. I just was a negative dark cloud of just special pill medication. It was just awful. I was just in a very bad emotional place. And I was blaming everybody else. It was everybody's fault. It was my kids' fault. It was my mother, my ex-husband, my the dog, the boss. And one day I really got a reality slap when I sat back and said, maybe it isn't everybody else. Maybe I need to figure out what's going on with me. And sure enough, the more I worked on myself and the more I stopped blaming everybody else and treating everybody else like dirt and passing the buck, magically, all of a sudden, all these people became really nice, became really supportive, suddenly changed. And the few that didn't, I realized those were the rotten apples that were contributing to how I was feeling and really had no place in my life. And by me changing in such a positive way and allowing other people to love me and to be there for me gave me the opportunity to realize who the rotten apples were and that I was worth more than that and I needed to cut them out of my life. And some of these people were family members. And I don't regret it because one of the things I learned was I can't live from a place of guilt. If everything you do is because you feel bad and you're guilt-ridden, you're not coming from a great place. You're coming from a place that is of obligation, and that's going to anchor you in anger. If I'm baking a dozen cookies for my kid for his school and I am happy about it, great, that's awesome. But if you're flipping 1,000, cookies and all this stuff and you're at the PTA mumbling under your breath because you really don't want to be there, do yourself a favor, write a check, send them $40, buy the cookies and drop them off. Because you're not coming from a place of love. You're just stressing yourself out, probably stressing your kid out because they know you really don't want to be there. Whereas the kid, if you buy the cookies and drop them off and you have a big smile on your face because you didn't spend 6 hours in the kitchen baking the cookies, they appreciate that more. So don't do stuff out of obligation. Don't do stuff out of anger because you're just coming from a place that it's not healthy for everybody, anybody at all, actually. And the one thing that I do want to remind you guys is that you have no obligation to do anything for anyone. As a parent, yes, you are expected to feed your child. You are expected to clothe them, and you are expected to keep them safe from the elements and not hurt them. But that doesn't mean you have to give them a, 1,200 square foot bedroom with all the electrical gadgets on it. And it doesn't mean that if you have 5 kids, you're going to make a catered meal for each one. I'm sorry. My kids knew. This is what I cooked. You're going to eat it. Trust me. It's healthy. You don't want to eat it? Your brother will eat it. Your sister will eat it. Because they have to understand that the world doesn't revolve around them. I taught my kids to love each other, to respect each other, to be there for each other, but to understand that everybody's special. Everybody. So that doesn't mean the world's going to stop and revolve around just you. Because if you do that, then everybody around them is going to be miserable because they're not going to value them. They're going to think that everybody is beneath them, and that's not the way to be. So what I want to focus you guys on, what I want you to think about, a lot of I've thrown out there, but it all comes down to the core of your why. Why are you making resolutions? Why are you having problems at work? Why are you angry? Why are you thinking that you're going to create this resolution that you feel you really don't want to do? If you really don't want to lose weight, then why are you saying you want to lose weight? What's the reason for it? You can be healthier without having to lose weight and starve yourself. You can just switch around some of the stuff you eat or get out and walk a little bit more. Or if you don't like exercising, join an activity that you enjoy. Go bowling, go rollerblading, take up cross-country skiing, or just simply take a dance class. It's not about being at the gym or being a size 2. It's about being happy with where you are. And everybody thinks that being the same like everybody else, I get up in the morning, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to eat granola bars, I'm going to eat a salad for lunch, That's great for some people because they're passionate about that and that's what they want to do. But you need to figure out what your balance is, what your core is, and obviously what your why is. And I'm hitting on this again because, like I said, I did a video on this the other day and it just keeps coming up in the questions. I've got about 30 other questions on that. So the only thing I want to encourage you guys to do is to get a notebook that you're going to carry with you everywhere you go. No, it's not going to sit in your nightstand on your desk. It needs to be in your back pocket if you're a dude, and in your purse or in your front pocket if you're a woman. And every morning, you need to ask yourself, what is my why? Because every day it's going to be different. Today, my why might be, my why is that I am chaperoning my kids' school for their field trip. Your why isn't because you want to hang out in the school bus with 70 screaming kids. Your why is because you want to create a great memory with your child of going to this cool place and realizing that out of those 70 kids, maybe there's six parents on the bus. Your child is going to remember that forever. Your why tomorrow might be that you have a presentation at work that you've been working on really hard, and now it's your turn to present it to the higher-ups. And you're going to go in there, and you're going to knock it out of the park. That's your why. Next week, your why might be, it's my day off. I haven't seen my husband in 3 days, and my why is I'm going to hang in bed till noon with him, and we're going to talk, and we're going to laugh, and we're going to watch stupid shows, and we're going to eat pizza, and then we're going to go for a walk, and we're just going to reconnect. That's an incredible why to have. So every day, remember your why. Create a why. And remember, every day, it is different. I cannot believe I yakked you guys for so long. So I want you guys to remember to come back for our show. We're going to have some amazing guests coming up this year. Again, the 411 Talk Show is a rebranding from my old Diamond in the Rough show that we had a few years ago. It's going to go hand in hand with our talk show, and it's going to go pretty cohesively with the book that will be coming out in March and the program that's going to be going along with it. So if you haven't had the opportunity, you need to go to my Facebook page, Charlie Alejandro. The personal page is private, but you can hit me up on my funny public figure page. So hit me up on that. And all the information is there. The book, Ordinary Woman's Guide to Creating a Happy Business and Staying Motivated in Life and Other Fables. And I call it other fables because the reality is being happy in life, it's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale that has the once upon a time and a happily ever after, but you have to create those. It's not going to come from anything outside. So the book is basically going to cover ways to start your own business if that's what you want. And the fact that there's a lot of times that we're technically starting our own business and we don't even realize it. Or how to treat your job, your 9-to-5, as if it was a business so it works better for you. Also the ability to just stay motivated in yourself and in your life. So, guys, I'm so glad. If you want to go check me out, I'm on Facebook, Ordinary Woman, Charlie Alejandro. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. So I look forward to our next time together. I will be posting the times for the regular times that we will be having the show. And I am so grateful that you guys are here. And remember, no one, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away. Until next time, I look forward to hearing from you guys again. And don't forget, in Lowell, Sunday, January 19th, we will be there with the test audience for my new book at Beantown Studio Production Companies. Go to the website and you'll see all the information there. Have a great one, guys.
Sneak that, peek that.